And these 5 feet a minute, and it's going like this, up and down, up and down.
What's it like now, Mike? Oh, nice, nice, leveled up.
60s.
He had open heart surgery back in, was it March? Yeah, in March. So just a few months ago. Quadruple bypass, was it?
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass. And now he's got a monitor. So we need to continue to pray for Mike.
In one chapter, I figure which one it is in Chronicles, it says three times in the same chapter, it says, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went.
I love that.
Three times.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's twice now.
The Lord's preserving Michael wherever he's going. We know where he's going ultimately. Praise God. He's being faithful. All right, praise the Lord, people. This morning, let's get right to the message. In Genesis chapter 49, open your Bibles, please. Genesis chapter 49 will stand for the reading of God's holy word. A family in a church had a parrot whose entire vocabulary consisted of the words, let's neck. The pastor had a parrot, too, whose only words were, let's pray. The pastor went on vacation. The family suggested that the pastor cage his bird with theirs while he's away. When the birds were put together in the cage, the family's parrot, as usual, said, let's neck. The pastor's parrot replied, my prayers have been answered. praise the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning on Joseph. And look with me here in the 49th chapter of Genesis. And I want to pick it up. You know what's happening here in Genesis chapter 49. Verse 1 says, Jacob called unto his sons. How many sons did Jacob have? 12, correct. And said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, your sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Now Jacob goes down here and he goes to each of the 12 tribes. His 12 sons brought forth the 12 tribes of Israel. And he prophesies concerning Israel and the last days in which we're living. And I want you to see what he says particularly to his son Joseph. And I want to speak to you this morning on Joseph attacked by the archers. Look with me in verse 22. And we read, Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. I want to speak to you this morning, beloved, on Joseph attacked by the archers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the word of God today. Lord, thank you for the 49th of Genesis and the incredible words of Jacob, the great patriarch, to his 12 sons. We thank you, Lord, for the prophetic element that is in these words and in these verses, Lord. And we thank you this morning that you have preserved it for us, that we may glean today by your Holy Spirit from this precious passage, Lord. Bless us as we look at Joseph attacked by the archers. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated, folks. Now, the great patriarch Jacob is at his finest hour here. He's learned to lean on God. Amen. Down through his lifetime, he has learned that God is faithful. And he's walking with God. But here he's on his deathbed. As he summons his 12 sons and speaks to them of God's love, mercy, and goodness, past, present, and future, with tears in his eyes, he reflects upon Reuben's sin. He lifts up his eyes and voice to God Almighty in verse 18, and he proclaims, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Suddenly he turns his attention to Joseph, the son of his beloved Rachel, for whom they waited 20 years in praying for a son. 20 chapters of the book of Genesis it took for Joseph to come, for Benjamin. Now, he begins to remember all of the heartache and burden and disappointment when Joseph was betrayed and sold into Egypt, lived in a dungeon, suffered being separated from the family he loved. And old Jacob utters these incredible words in our text as he speaks of his beloved Joseph attacked by the archers. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Beloved, I want to give you four things this morning concerning Joseph attacked by the archers. First of all, I want to observe the cruel attack. The cruel attack. Verse 23 says, Joseph, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Now, beloved, Joseph was a true servant of God. As you know from studying your Bible, he was a man of God. He was a man after God's own heart. And listen, his character was nearly flawless. In fact, we have difficulty trying to find a life that was cleaner than Joseph's in all the Bible. He was a godly man. He was a God-fearing man, and he was a servant of the living God. Paul said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Mark it down. But Joseph had a bullseye on his back, and Satan made sure it was shot at by the archers. But who exactly are the archers that so cruelly shot at Joseph, attacked by the archers? Let me give you three suggestions this morning for who those archers are. First, I'm so glad the Bible has the answers, amen? The first one is this. Joseph had to endure the archers of envy. The archers of envy. Joseph was one to be admired in his youth. He lived in piety and prayerfulness. He walked and talked with the living God. And mark it down, brethren. If you live a godly and spiritual life, even some of the brethren are going to come against you. Look at Genesis chapter 37. Hold your place in 49. We'll be coming back. But look in chapter 37. First, I want you to see the archers of envy. In chapter 37, you know the situation here. Joseph comes and his father sends him to his brethren in the field. Look with me here in verse 5. Genesis 37, verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, the 12 patriarchs. He said, they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. It wasn't Joseph's fault. It was a vision from God. In those days, he did work by dreams and visions. In verse today, if you have one, you might eat too much pepperoni pizza before going to bed. But verse 11, and his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. These archers of envy are shooting at him here in chapter 37. Look at verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. I love that. Joseph was so obedient. Joseph just said, Father, thy will be done. I'll go, I'll do the task. And he goes in verse 17. And the man said, they are departed hence. For he was looking for his brethren. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Look at verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. They said, we're going to take care of this Joseph. We're going to kill him. The archers of envy are shooting at him big time here. Look with me down here in verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. Sound familiar? His coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. Sound familiar? And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. Oh, let's have a nice meal now that we've killed Joseph. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to get carried down to Egypt. Who are the Ishmaelites? The Ishmaelites came from Ishmael and Esau. These are Islamic Arabs here. They're Muslims. And now, I realize the Muslim religion didn't come about yet, but they're Arabs, trust me. They're Islamic. And they're coming against who? Joseph. And they come and they take Joseph. You know the story. They take him down into Egypt. Why? Because Joseph's brethren envied him. Beloved, what am I saying? I'm saying that if you're going to serve God, there's going to be some envying going on. There's going to be some arrows shot your way. Why? Because you're a Joseph. You're a true servant of God. And they're going to shoot at you just like they shot at him. Hey, they shot at Jesus. Amen? And they're going to shoot at Jesus' followers as well. But secondly, I see another group of archers shooting at Joseph. There were the archers of envy. But secondly, there were the archers of temptation. Back to chapter 39. Go to chapter 39. Look what happens here. You know the story. He goes down to Egypt into captivity. Chapter 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Becomes a slave. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. People are going to see it when God is with you. Glory to God. It's unmistakable. The blessing of the Lord rested upon this man. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had put is in his hand. Time out. Look at verse 4. Joseph served who? Potiphar. The man that was his owner. Joseph did,
oh, poor old me. Look what they did to me. They sold me a day to night. Potiphar is my boss. What am I going to do?
No, it's none of that. He obediently obeyed. Listen to me. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Wow. Joseph was content because he knew he did no wrong. He was in the will of God wherever he was. Oh, I love it. Look with me here in drop down to verse 7. And it came to pass after these things, some more archers are on the way, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Wicked. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, he reminds her. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph, the first thing he thought about when he was tempted was God. He said, if I do this, I'm going to be sinning against my God. And I refuse. Look at that word. I refuse. Verse 8. I love that. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, the temptation kept coming, that spake to Joseph, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. She is a type of sin right here. And Joseph saying no to sin. No to temptation. Verse 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, good morning, sister. Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know what you need to do when you're faced with temptation? Flee and get you out.
I love that. Look at that in verse 11. Look at verse 13.
And she caught him. He got him out, verse 12. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. The archers are shooting at Joseph, yeah. And they are the archers of temptation. Beloved, I want you to consider the enormity of this temptation. Joseph was a healthy, red-blooded Jew. He was young. He was attractive, the Bible says, and he was single. He had no wife. This was a sore and horrible temptation that he faced. But he counted his walk with God more important than the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen? He said, I'm going to stay faithful to my God despite you, Potiphar's wife. The archers of envy shot at him. The archers of temptation shot at him. But I see another one. There were the archers of slander. Look with me here. Now, by the way, slander, according to Noah Webster, equals defamation of character, a false report maliciously uttered intending to injure the reputation of another. I preach a message dealing with adversity. It's all about the life of Joseph, by the way. I'll have to preach that one of these Sundays. But slander is a horrible thing, especially when you haven't done what they're saying you did. I've experienced this just recently in my life. Slander, being accused of something you didn't do. It hurts, especially when people believe it. Listen, Joseph is getting shot at here by the archers of slander. Look at chapter 39, verse 13. She lies. She says, he tried to rape me. You know he didn't. He took off when you tried to tempt him. Look at verse 16. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, that Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. Liar. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. He believed it. And you know what he did? Look at verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But look at the next verse. But the Lord was with him. I love it, because they can slander you all they want if the Lord is with you. Amen. Glory to God. Joseph's in the prison.
Whoa. She lied about me.
No, that's not what he's doing. He's praising God for suffering for Christ. Amen. Glory to God. The archers of envy shot at him. The archers of temptation shot at him. The archers of slander shot at him. Joseph did right, and now he's sitting in a dungeon. Folks, what am I saying? Sometimes we're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. Amen? It's just that simple. There's no getting around it. Now, in 1623, when liberty was offered to John Bunyan in the Bedford prison, he had sat there for 12 years. On condition of his abstaining from preaching the gospel, he consistently replied, if you let me out today, I shall preach the gospel tomorrow. Then we let him out. So he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody read Pilgrim's Progress? Oh yeah, man, what a book. If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, you haven't lived. What a book. How I love Pilgrim's Progress. You'll find me quoting from it regularly in my preaching. But just like Joseph, the archer shot at him, so too may everyone who is godly expect to be shot at by the enemy, the archers. But something else I want you to see. That's the cruel attack. But secondly, listen, behold the shielded warrior. Look with me in verse 23 again. Chapter 49. Back to our text. Behold the shielded warrior. Verse 23. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength. Wow. Did you know that a bow is an offensive weapon? Before we moved up from Maine, downstairs, David. David, he's a character. He got himself a crossbow. And I'm going to laugh at me. I went in the Navy. I was 17 years old. I went in the Navy. I was 111 pounds. 111 pounds. They wanted me to be a SEAL. I said, you got the wrong guy, man. But I won the marksman competition between me and my sister company. So I gave another one of 180 guys in shooting. So that's why they wanted to. You can kill people from a long way off. I said, no thanks. But listen, a bow is an offensive weapon. David got himself a bow. And it was a crossbow, but it was, you had to manually arm it. And he said, here, put this arrow in there. I want you to try out my new crossbow, you know. And it had the thing, and it had the sight and everything. And so I go, I couldn't get the thing to load, you know. And so he goes, oh, come here, one arm. He's a big guy. He goes, boom, you know, like that. But it's an offensive weapon. And I did shoot that thing. And from 100 yards, that's 300 feet, ladies. Sorry. 100 yards off, I hit the dead center of a tree. He said, hit that tree. Boom. No problem. That's quite a weapon. You got a weapon. Amen. His bow abode in strength. He didn't turn tail and run away from the archers. He didn't quit trusting God and fall out of church. He didn't give up on the good fight of faith. But his bow abode in strength. I see three ways that his bow abode in strength. First, it was his bow personally. Look at that, verse 24. It says, but his bow abode in strength. It was his bow personally. Brethren, every warrior of the Lord needs his own personal bow of strength. Amen? You've got a bow of strength. It's in your lap right now, your King James Bible. And when the evil archers come shooting at us, we fire back with the sword of the Spirit. It is written. The devil can't take that. When you quote scripture to him, he cannot take it. By the way, Ephesians chapter 6 lists the whole armor of God. There's only one offensive weapon in there. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You've got a weapon to attack the enemy with when he comes knocking on your door. I'm so glad of that. Oh, beloved, every time the enemy comes shooting at us, we're going to fire back with the sword of the Spirit. Joseph did. Secondly, not only was it his bow personally, but notice this shielded warrior's quietness and peace. Look what it says in verse 24. But his bow abode. Abode in strength. I love that word. His bow, listen, his bow abideth and liveth forever. His bow abides in strength. It can never lose its power. It can never let you down. It will never fail you. And it's a peace and quietness and assurance forever as we abide in his word. Amen? Secondly, his bow was a bow of quietness. But thirdly, his bow had an indestructible power. Look at verse 24. But the archer shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength. Joseph had a secret power that the other prisoners didn't have. Amen? He had a bow. And it is a bow of strength. I'm so thankful for this bow because I wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for that book. Glory to God. It has indestructible power. The Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass. Joseph was a shielded warrior. He had the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the gospel, the shoes of peace, the breastplate of righteousness. He had it all because he had God, the living God. So do we, beloved. It just needs to be utilized. Amen? In our daily lives. There was a squadron of U.S. soldiers back in April of 92 during the Gulf War in Iraq. They mistakenly took a wrong turn in the desert and got separated from the 101st Battalion. Some of them were killed. Some were captured. And others were later rescued. My point is this. One wrong turn can put a warrior into a position of vulnerability. People, we need to hold on to the bow of strength and keep on going for God. Amen? Without fail. Oh, beloved. We've seen the cruel attack. We've seen the shielded warrior. But thirdly, this morning, quickly, notice his secret strength. Notice his secret strength in verse 24. The word says, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Notice here, the Holy Spirit reveals the great secret of Joseph's victory over all opposition. It was the hand of God, listen, working in and through him. Joseph had an inner strength that nobody could see or understand except himself. You've got an inner strength that only you know in the Lord. They don't look, you know, you're out there in the workforce. Karen just came from work and look at all. She's always reading that Bible on her coffee break. You know, she's always going to church. She's talking about Jesus. Yeah, amen. That's because she's got secret strength. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a secret strength that nobody knows about but you yourself. He knew that God was with him. I see four ways that he had secret strength. First, we see that it was real strength. Look at verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. Notice the word strong. It was a real strength. And notice how he words it. The arms of his hands were made strong. You know what you do with your arms? You lift stuff. And he didn't get strong muscles by lifting weights. He got strong by the hands of God. Listen, it was a real strength. The strength that God gave him was real, and this was demonstrated in his practical obedience to God. Joseph was able to endure all of these trials. Why? Because it was a real strength that he had. You have real strength. We're going to talk about that tonight in pneumatology. The strength of the Holy Spirit within. Secondly, we see that not only was it real strength, but it was a divine strength. Look at verse 24. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now notice here that his hands were made. Notice the word made in verse 24. Joseph wasn't strong. Hello? Joseph was made strong. You are not some spiritual giant. You can be made a spiritual giant by the strength of the Lord. I love that. Joseph's strength was a divine strength. It wasn't his own. Oh, he was made strong. Thirdly, something else about his strength. We see that it was an intimate strength. Look at verse 24. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the what? Hands of the Almighty. Listen. Joseph had an intimate strength. God's hands were on him. When God's hands are on you and in your life, you have an intimate fellowship and communion with God, and you have a strength that nothing else can give you but the hands of God. It was an intimate strength. Beloved, grace, power, and spiritual strength are acquired by worship and fellowship and communion with the living God. It's an intimate strength. Fourthly, what about this strength? We see that it was a covenant strength. Look at verse 24. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The mighty God of Jacob. Who was Jacob besides Joseph's father? He was the guy that was in covenant with God through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was a covenant strength. Listen carefully. Covenant mercies, covenant grace, covenant promises, covenant blessings, and covenant strength are all bestowed only upon those who have entered into covenant with God. Joseph was a covenant keeper. Amen? As is God. And Joseph had a covenant strength from God. Once you enter into covenant with God through his son, Jesus Christ, you have a strength that the world doesn't have. I am so thankful this morning for that. This was Joseph's secret strength. Before William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, became a minister, at the tender age of 17, he was made a local preacher in the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church once preached the gospel. He was to be ordained at the age of 19. But his doctor advised him against being a minister, telling Booth that his health was so poor that he was unfit for the strain of the preacher's life. But at the age of 83, after 64 years of strenuous work amongst London's poor, physical labors that were nearly unsurpassed, and the founding of a worldwide organization that yet exists today, Booth proved the doctor wrong. Why? Because he had a secret strength. William Booth had a secret strength. Amen. And the Lord used him mightily. Glory to God. Salvation Army once preached the gospel too. But finally, I want you to see one last thing. We've seen the cruel attack. The archers shot at him sore. We've seen the shielded warrior. His bow was bowed in strength. We've seen the secret strength. The hands of the mighty God of Jacob. But fourthly and finally, let us see the glorious parallel. Look at verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bow. Amen. A fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Woo! I love it. Notice the sudden shift from Joseph, the type, to Jesus, the antitype, in verse 24. Yes, indeed, our shepherd was treated as Joseph was treated. He passed through similar trials. He too was shot at by the archers. He was grieved and wounded, but his arms were made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. Amen? Verse 26, look at it. Verse 26, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Listen to me. All the blessings of God now rest upon the head. Look, notice the word head in verse 26. Upon the head of Joseph. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brother. All blessings now rest upon the head of Jesus Christ. Just like Joseph opened the storehouses of corn for the Egyptians, Jesus has the storehouses of heaven to bestow upon a lost and dying world. I'm so thankful for that today. I want to give you two things in closing concerning this glorious parallel. And they're both found in verse 24 between Joseph and the Lord Jesus. First, that our Joseph came into the world as a shepherd. Look at verse 26. From thence is the shepherd. Joseph's brethren were shepherds, and they did not want Joseph to become a shepherd of the sheep. Are you listening? They rejected Joseph's shepherdship and sold him into slavery. You know what happened when Jesus came, the great shepherd of the sheep? His brethren received him not. They rejected him and sold him into Egypt. They sold him into slavery. They killed him, literally, nailing him to the cross. That was the shepherd, that he wanted to be their shepherd, but they wouldn't have him. The second thing I want you to notice in this glorious parallel, not only that he is the shepherd, but secondly, that our Joseph came as the stone of Israel. Look at verse 24 again. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, just as Joseph was rejected by his own brothers, even so was our Joseph. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the headstone of the corner, Peter said, quoting Psalm 118. Daniel said, for as much as thou sawest the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces all these kingdoms, even so shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall stand forever by the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. My message today is Joseph attacked by the archers. So was our great shepherd attacked by the archers, and so may we too expect some attacks as his followers. But go to chapter 50 in closing today. Chapter 50. Look at this, last chapter of Genesis. Look at verse 16. I want you to see the outcome. And they sent a messenger unto who? Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive. Oh, wow. I pray thee now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. They come to Joseph and they said, will you forgive us for what we did to you, Joseph? Verse 17, and for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Beloved, listen to me in closing. This day is coming very soon when they will pray, Joseph, forgive us. What we did was evil. It was wrong. We pray thee, forgive us. And Joseph will weep and say, I forgive you. I forgive you. God sent me to bless you. Amen. Glory to God. Beloved, I've got good news this morning. Our Joseph is coming back. And when he does, he's going to forgive his brethren. And he's going to set up a kingdom that will last forever. Joseph, attacked by the archers. Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for Joseph, our great shepherd and stone of Israel. We thank you that he's coming back soon and very soon, Lord. And we thank you that that great shepherd of the sheep will be one shepherd. And the fold will be one under him. And he will rule and reign from the throne of David in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And thank you, Lord, that you're a covenant-keeping God. Thank you, Lord, for the incredible typology. The example, I should say, an example of Joseph, the man of God in the Old Testament. Lord, what a type. Lord, you couldn't spell it out any clearer, Holy Spirit, in your word than you have in black and white for us. Joseph, that great type of the shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that despite those archers shooting at him, his bow abode in strength. Lord, we're getting hit. We're getting slandered. We're getting attacked by the archers. But we do thank you, Lord, that just like Joseph, we're going to stay the course. We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on fighting the good fight of faith, holding up the shield of faith, quenching every flaming, fiery dart of the wicked. Thank you, Lord. Our bow abodes in strength because of the mighty God of Jacob. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we serve under a king who has never lost a battle and never will. Thank you, great captain of our salvation. Thank you, Lord God of Israel. Thank you, Lord God of the body of Christ, the bride of the Son of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our strength. Thank you for making our hands strong by your hands, Almighty God. We love you today and we thank you for the victory. Lord, we're not pouting, we're shouting the victory in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. 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 Glory to God.
Can I share a blessing?
Please, Karen.
This one man that comes to the clinic where I work, and they all have a number that they have to tell when they come to the window so they can punch up their profile.
Mm.
And he always writes his name, and then he puts number one. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever read One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven.
Hmm.
Have you read that book?
No.
It's an evangelist that goes around, and it's really good telling about how soul winning you
are. Is Sam Gibb right there?
No.
Okay.
Trying to remember his name. But anyways, one of the examples he uses in this book was when he sees anybody with a necklace that says number one or anything, he always uses things that they're wearing or something like that to witness to them. So he says to them, on the day that you die, who's going to be number one? So when he's, today when he came to my window, I said, what's your number? And he usually had a four-digit number. He goes, number one. And I said, his name is David. And I said, David, let me ask you a question. I know of someone that asked this question, so I'm going to ask it to you. On the day that you die, who's going to be number one? And he said, that's a good question. And so he says, I said, it'll either be Jesus or it'll be Satan. And he goes, well, I hope it's not Satan. I'd hate to come face to face with him. And so I said, well, would you really like to know? And he said, yeah, I wouldn't. So I was taking a chance because I got fired for it. But I gave him a chick track. And he said, oh, is this for me? And I said, yes, you can have it. He said,
I love it.
Thank you. And so just pray for him, please. His name is David.
Amen.
And that he would, God would touch his heart. Because
yes.
He ripped open his shirt like up here and he goes, look what I've got written right here. And it said Revelation something, but I don't
know.
I didn't.
Tattoo?
Yeah, it was a big tattoo. He said, that's the way he said he was really interested. But I couldn't read the numbers. I could read Revelation.
Yeah.
1318, yeah. I hope not.
You know, the Lord really blessed Karen by this message today, too, because everything that was in this message, she's been going through it. She's been the target for envy.
Yep.
And all the other nurses, they know she's a Christian. They can't stand her. All the things that Joseph was...
No, I didn't even know that. Just the Holy Spirit.
That's the most exciting thing. Like you said, when the Lord comes back, he's going to weep over his people. That's like... Zephaniah is just a joy over them with singing.
Oh, man.
I know. And you know what?
It's awesome.
I read another side note that Ruckman had about the arrow thing, and I forgot about it. When Elijah...
Yeah.
Where he put his hands on the arrow for the king. Kind of the same principle. Like...
Yeah.
Remember God, Elijah told the king, now shoot your arrows, and then... It says Elijah put his hands on the king's hands, like the same principle of God's hands.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, that's
glory to God. Hey, you guys like spicy food, I hope?
Yeah. Oh, well, I do.
Oh, David doesn't?
Moderate.
No.
Moderate. I made it some chili. It was a little spicy, but I hated it. Vanessa likes super spicy.
What do you want to eat next week?
What's that?
What do you want to eat next week?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not picky either. I've always been. I can pretty much eat everything.
He never ate spicy before.
Miriam makes an awesome Spanish rice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, thinking of making a pork roast.
I'm sure I'd love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
Anything you guys want us to care about something to bring too? Like
no,
I have a like. I have